Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Time to learn about everything happening during the world's biggest tournament. It's the World of Soccer with Glenn Davis.
Presented by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Breathe well, live well.
Now back to John and Lance inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
All right, welcome back. Man, oh man, oh man, what a day. Biggest day for U.S. soccer in forever. See if they can get to the quarters tonight against Belgium. To break it down for us is the foremost authority in the world now on soccer. Glenn Davis joining us, brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief on ESPN 97.5.
Shout out, right. Dr. Kaplan.
All right, let's talk about Balogun. I just say this, Glenn, and let you go. If you're going to have this energy for Balogun and you're all pissed off about him being reinstated, I hope you have that same energy for Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, or Leo Messi. I mean, look, it's the thing, Article 27. It gives FIFA the discretion to delay or suspend the enforcement of a disciplinary action. But whatever. This is a talking point. Everybody's got a comment on it. It seems to be in the head of the Belgians now, who are releasing reports. This is something for another day for me. The biggest problem seems to be the misuse of VAR in this tournament and some of the refereeing. I know they wanted to allow things to go a little bit, but like what France had to go through against Paraguay, I think is really objectionable. So we can make a lot of comparisons. I'll only say this. Think about watching every game you've watched. In every game you see in slow motion, somebody stamping on somebody's foot.
Right.
Poor tackle, missed tackle, ill-timed. And I will tell you, as a former professional soccer player, some of those are done on purpose, okay? That's the bottom line. It happens every game. So for Balogun to get sent off for competing against a defender is really objectionable. And, you know, these things can determine and change tournaments. So anyway, I'm ready to focus on the players and the teams and how it's all going to work. And, you know, If this really has affected Belgium's preparation so much, let me give him a quick scouting report. Okay, you ready? Following Balogun is quick. He can get behind you. He's a vertical runner. He runs the channel. He's our best finisher. He can get turned in the box. There's your scouting report.
Are you at all concerned? There was conversation yesterday about fitness level because, you know, but I would think, I haven't heard this, but I would think that the U.S. still would have had him involved and engaged in terms of some.
No, Pochettino said he was in full training
okay.
the whole time.
Okay, so it's
not
an issue.
He's not going golfing. He's still training with the whole team because they're expecting to move on. Come on.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Mm-hmm. But he did have is there any different game plan with him not in that? Now they but they go back to what they were doing before, right?
Well, listen, that's a good question because if Pepe had started, and you never know with Pochettino, he could surprise. But if Pepe's starting, he's a different kind of striker that has to be played into differently. Playing into your strikers is a very important thing, but you have to present the ball to them in ways they like. Pepe might play a little bit more underneath. He doesn't maybe give you the vertical option as much. Maybe it's like in the NFL, right? You have some receivers that are running patterns that are in front of a defense and underneath a defense as opposed to going behind them. I guess that's the best way I can explain it.
Right. So, great thing for the U.S. Balogun is back. What are you expecting? How does this game play out in your mind before they kick off?
Well, look, this is going to be our biggest challenge. Nobody can look past Belgium. They got a great goalkeeper in Thibaut Courtois. You're going to have to do something special to beat him. You still have legends that are still breathing, like Kevin De Bruyne, like Lukaku. Doku has not really had a good tournament. I know he had had a baby with his partner, so I don't know where he's at. Thielemans is a great player. It's a good team. And at some point, they have to emerge, and you would think they will emerge today. You're going to have to play your best game to beat them. But the strength of the United States is in its collective nature. And for me, the big piece today is Adams, McKinney, and Tillman in midfield. I think these guys have produced in the tournament, have to continue to produce, and I'm expecting the U.S. again to take the game to Belgium.
Yeah, it's going to be that's going to be fun to see how they, because Belgium, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag when you look back on their results. They have some matches where they've scored, put some shots on goal, but it's against Senegal. It didn't look good at all, and it took a miraculous finish.
Senegal gifted them back into that game. Yeah. I mean, they have to be still kicking themselves about how they lost that game. And you know, credit Belgium; they took advantage of opportunity. But boy, that Senegal really controlled that game. I didn't see a whole lot out of Belgium until all of a sudden I looked up and it was 3-2.
This is such a let's get to Mexico, and you, we'll get to U.S. again here in a second. But
yeah.
Mexico, so I want to ask you, I asked Dell and John, and they kind of had to wait and think about it. Argentina versus Cape Verde, Mexico versus England, which game for you was the more compelling game? Or I mean, it's hard to distinguish between the two. Different types of games.
Yeah, it is really hard to distinguish. I would say what England did in Azteca Stadium against what I believe, and I think most people believe, it's not just me, that one of the greatest home field advantages in sports, it's got to be top two or three.
A man down.
All sports is Azteca Stadium, altitude, smog, crowd. I think it has to be. I mean, even watching that on TV, you could sense just how difficult that environment was. England were warriors in that game. I mean, that was just, I was in awe watching these men fight through this at altitude. And I think, you know, you're battling not just a great opponent, but you're also battling, you know, oxygen, altitude, your brain's trying to shut down. It was an incredible performance.
Is it true that Azteca, my son told me it's 10 times higher, it's 50,000. It's like Denver, where we talk about the, you know, the altitude of Denver, that it's like it's 5,000 and Azteca's at 50,000, like it's 10 times the amount of altitude. Is that accurate? Is it that much altitude?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had my tape measure out lately, Lance.
Right. No, have you ever played there before? Have you ever played?
I haven't played in Azteca, but I used to go to Mexico City a lot, and I can tell you, no, I didn't play down there. And in my era, those teams came here. We didn't go there. And they were all friendlies. But I can tell you that I never slept comfortably in Mexico City. I'd always wake up feeling like I was short of breath at night. So I can only imagine what it's like to run in it. I did take a run there once, and it wasn't very pretty.
Now, here's the answer. It's 2,300 feet higher. Azteca 73 feet is 7,500, and Mile High Stadium is 5,200. But it gives you a sense of what you were talking about, Glenn. I mean, you're really going through a lot if you're England.
That was just an incredibly brave performance, and then to go down a man, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they must have played 30 minutes with all, and then 11 minutes of extra time. I mean, these guys. I mean, Harry Kane. I thought Jordan Pickford was spectacular. I think this is one of the greatest wins in English football history. Without a doubt, because of the platform, because of being the World Cup, because of all the challenges. So it was Bellingham, Gordon. I mean, these guys were inspiring.
I thought Pickford might have had, I don't know, I know they got a couple of goals, but that might have been the best performance by a goalie yet.
I think that's one of the greatest goalkeeping performances in the history of England, and that's with all due respect to Peter Shilton and everybody. I thought he was spectacular under those conditions. His command of the penalty area, came out and punched a lot of balls. Mm-hmm. His kicking game was great. And that's the type of goalkeeping performance you're going to have in a game like that, because that instills a tremendous amount of confidence in everybody around you. And, you know, speaking of today, you know, you got Courtois on goal for Belgium, and I've seen this guy produce performances where he's unbeatable. And I would also say that our U.S. goalkeeper, Matt Fries, really has not been tested that much. So
no.
That's an area to keep an eye on.
Yeah. And Pickford not only had all those saves and whatnot, but he set up the PK with the long kick that was tipped, and then he's got a breakaway when you just had the ball at your own goal. So that yep. leg, what a weapon Pickford's leg is. Holy crap, he can get you out of trouble and actually set you up offensively in a hurry. And so he played a huge role. What about, okay, let's talk about Argentina and Cabo Verde, Glenn. What a game that was.
Yeah, incredible game. I mean, Cabo Verde pushing Argentina to the brink. I'm sitting on my couch going, could this happen? And that's Messi's last World Cup game, defending champions out. I'm just, you know, I think this is why this has been such an amazing tournament. It just has kept us on the edge of our seats. But that was an inspiring performance. And again, I think we know that the world of international football is shrinking a little bit. All these teams have professionals on them. You know, some people may think that these players are driving a cab during the day and training at night. That's not the case.
What was incredible to me was the story. I mean, it's such an underdog story, but watching, I don't know if you guys got to, well, watching them interact with their fans afterwards, the kids crying in the stadium, but then the flight back home. I don't know if you guys saw the video of what they returned to. Guys, you know, giving them the, you know, on their knees, but praising them, like, you know, doing the little thing where they take the arms from high to low on the ground, who unload bags on the plane, all the cars that were lined up along the runway, just a hero's response from the fan base. And, you know, they became the international darlings. Just such a great story in general for this World Cup. And Glenn, I think it's worth pointing out, they didn't get in because it was the 48 expansion. They were in.
Yeah, they were in at the expense of, let's see, who were they in? Cameroon, I think, the Indomitable Lions. So, you know.
It's a great story. And this World Cup, so I'm looking at the TV ratings here. The U.S., the largest, over 31.9 million viewers. Was the peak viewership for the U.S. versus Bosnia-Herzegovina. That is most assuredly going to be broken today against Belgium. These numbers, 122% higher this year than 2022 on Telemundo. The ratings are, let's see, I think it was 92% increase on the U.S. broadcast platforms. These numbers are staggering, and a win tonight, Glenn, I would think, with all these people watching, and I see it on social media, people who are getting into soccer, I got to find a Premier League team to follow now. This has been incredible. I've never been into it like this. This has really been a moment that I think, I guess the question is going to be, it's going to grow the World Cup and the interest in the World Cup. How does it work for the U.S. men's national team? Is there going to be any trickle down for MLS for this?
Yeah, I think that's the big question. That's to be seen. The World Cup is one thing. It's a short tournament. It's greatest stars in the game. It's now engaging a lot more countries. I think to quantify things and for me to say anything right now, I'm not really sure. I only think that there has to be a lot of good that comes out of this when it comes to generational turnover and movement towards people being engaged in the sport. It's the indelible memory of a father taking a son or a daughter, or a mother taking a son or a daughter to a game, and 20 years from now you're talking about it, and maybe it's the fire starter for somebody to be really involved in the game. But I mean, look, Houston, and let's just talk about our market, has always been an amazing soccer market. The legacy of the sport is not being born now. It wasn't born when the Dynamo got here. It was born back in the 60s, okay? And even before that, there was soccer being played here. So this is just going to extend it with all the great things that have happened in the past for our soccer community. But if you're involved in the game at any level in town with youth, or you're in coaching or whatever, you're tying yourself into the World Cup, no question.
All right, so who we play after we beat Belgium Portugal or Spain. They play today as well. What do you think there?
Boy, that's we got two amazing games today. Spain-Portugal, Spain's going to want to compress the field. They play with a high line, all the quick, tight passing and interplay. Really, really exceptional team, as we all know. Pedri, Dani Olmo are going to try to slip behind the midfield. I think in Portugal's case, they want to make this a more chaotic game. They want it to be opened up. They want it to be a little bit more transitional. They need to get a wide game out of Leao, Neto, Nuno Mendes, that great left back who had that free kick at Houston Stadium. I guess I can call it Energy now. Two differing styles, but I think I give a slight edge to Spain and Portugal. This is their game to arrive now, and I think similar to Belgium, if Belgium is for real, they got to arrive today against the United States, and we do too. I mean, this is our biggest challenge as of late. If we don't get past Belgium, I don't consider this World Cup from a results standpoint a success.
This is it. This is the biggest game we've played ever, Glenn?
Yeah, it's got to be right up there. I mean, each generation is different, but I think so, yes. As a host nation, trying to go to a quarterfinal and be the last, being the last eight in the world as a host nation, yeah, I do think it's the biggest.
Your
game
last
ever.
Match beat the NBA Finals in ratings, the highest rated game. You're expected to have, from 31-9, you're expected to have close to 40 million eyes. This is huge for the U.S. men's soccer.
I certainly think because of when the game is, where it is bigger. But if we go by what could be accomplished, the quarterfinal against Germany in 2002, you were in a game that could have got you into a World Cup semifinal. But how many Americans actually saw it? Because it was in
the time difference was
South
brutal.
Korea, Japan, so yeah. That might have affected.
It was super early to
impact
watch
wise, no question about tonight.
Yep. And Glenn, you win, you go to Friday, you play here in LA. You're on that game, right?
I'm on the Friday game, and I'm hoping the U.S. is going to be in it. That's for sure. I mean, that's,
right. And I'm hoping you need a spotter. You need a spotter, probably. I'm here. You don't know all the players, so I can help you out.
You
on
don't
that.
Know any of the players.
Well, apparently, I do need a spotter, and so does my partner Paul Walker, because it's a very high vantage point in that stadium. So we're going from this incredible spot at Energy Stadium to now being way up there, but it's all good. It's all good.
Well, I'm here for you. I'm here. If as long as the pay is right, I'll do it.
What's the pay? Getting in
the
stadium.
We'll have a car pick you up in L.A. I know you're a bi-coastal guy now.
He is right. Come get me. Yep. Glenn Davis, this is it. This is huge. We will talk about this game tomorrow with Glenn. Brought to you by Kaplan Sinus Relief. Kaplan Sinus Relief is where you get that irritation done. You take care of business like Lance did.
That's right.
He can tell you all about it. But Glenn, we appreciate you, man. Doesn't get any bigger than this. So we're looking forward to tonight.
By the way, Lance, are you breathing better?
I am.
If they had put you in midfield down at Azteca last night, you would have needed that surgery.
Yeah, if you'd given me 2 months to prepare, I'd have been ready to play in the midfield. I usually need about 2 months, but breathing great now. Very happy with how things are going.
All right, let's go USA tonight. It's our turn. We're going to be the first host country to get to the last eight.
That's it. Let's go.
First
pumped
host
up.
Country. That's crazy.
I think you got to. Well, should we do? Should we pump the team up?
This. What with what? What song do you want?
Pump
hear?
Up,
pump up.
Yeah, we're the only remaining host country currently.
That's right. Mexico
that's
what and
he,
Canada
that's what
both
he means.
Eliminated.
But there have been host countries in the past who've gotten to quarterfinals.
Yeah,
but as far as this World Cup, we're the last hope for the hosts to make it to a quarterfinal.
I'm sure Mexico's gonna be cheering loud for us.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I'm sure gonna be thrilled.
Mexico's gonna be excited. Yep, my wife is like, "Why are you cheering for England?" And she said, "I'm from Mexico." And she told my daughter, "You should be cheering for Mexico. You're half Mexican." I'm like, "You're from Kingwood. Kingwood's not in the World Cup.
You're
stop.
A no sabo.
Yeah, you're Kingwood's not in the World Cup. That's your squad. Stop. Yeah.
All right, slow down.
Stop.
All right, we got a break. We got to talk about the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. We got to talk about what a great place to watch a game. You got time to get there now. You can bet on the game. You can watch with a, I mean, place should be, I would hope, is going to be packed with people screaming at the television. What a great place to watch this game tonight, okay? I don't know that there is a better place. They'll have the sound up. It'll be just, it'll be electric. I don't know that there's a better place to watch any game, any big game. We went and watched, we were there for, I forget what game we were there for. It was awesome, awesome, awesome. Had us a big time and could not have had more fun. It is the place to watch whatever big event there is. So you got to make a reservation. I would think on a Monday night you could probably sneak in there, but go to GoldenNuggetLC.com. Make a reservation so that you're sure you got a table. We got tables when we were there for the big UFC event. And we found a table, but that's not the way to go about it. The way to go about it is to reserve your table now. They got everything you could possibly want, but it is the best place to get your game on while you got your bets down. It is so, so, so much fun. You're looking for any way to gamble at just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. Don't go all the way to Vegas. You don't have to. You can go there and back tonight if you need be, or stay the night, get yourself a hotel room, have yourself a great time, drink, go up to your room, come back tomorrow at the GoldenNuggetLC.com, GoldenNuggetLC.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. We have been talking a lot of soccer, so we've been ignoring our Astros, who are quietly playing some pretty damn good baseball.
Sitting there, minding their own business, winning series.
What about our hometown five making moves?
Oh, how about that? How about, you know what I learned this weekend? You can get rid of Dorian Finamis if you give up a bunch of draft
picks.
Well,
it was the Brock Osweiler trade.
Yeah.
The Texans had to give up.
Not as bad, because you gave up a second rounder with Brock Osweiler.
Right. That's even more penal. In the NFL, like, second rounders are big deals.
Yeah.
In the NBA, it's not as big a deal. But, yeah, if you missed it. Now, only one more year was guaranteed. Two of the years weren't guaranteed, which there was a huge fight between Ocho Cinco and Brandon Marshall about guaranteed NBA contracts or whatever. But that got heated. But and somebody else, I don't know, Channing Crowder, I can't remember who it was. But, he only had one more that was fully guaranteed, Dorian Finney-Smith. Now, when it got to the fourth year,
Are we sure about that?
Looking
at his deal right now.
No, I double-checked it because somebody said that. On SpotTrack, you can't find it like that.
He but has a player option in
I know. I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing. If you look at SpotTrack, you would think that, but if you dig a little deeper, you'll find out just the first 2 years are guaranteed. Because not all NBA contracts are fully guaranteed.
That's true, but normally they would have a date or whatever, but fine, whatever. He's gone. He's now
longer. So what they did was they peddled him off, and they had to give up, I think, 3 second-round picks to do so. And one thing I've learned is there are Rocket fans who really have decided Rafael Stone is the devil. Like, he is the worst. They're being held back by Rafael Stone. Mm. They hate Rafael Stone. And then if you are like, I don't know, I think Rafael has a good draft, so you're considered a bootlicker. So it's like there's a very – Ime doesn't get the same treatment. For whatever reason, Ime doesn't get the same – there's comments about Ime, but this is – Rafael is somebody who people have latched on to, like, this is the guy we're going to blame for everything. Now, he's had some bad – the Finney-Smith move was bad. I love this. Just get this out of here, because now you have some more money to make some moves. You know, the idea that this is cost cutting because Tillman's cheap. This is getting rid of a bad contract for a player who can't play, and now you have more room to do something.
He's cheap. That's so funny. He's $900,000 below the second level of the highest level you can get. So yeah.
Well, the thing was you're doing that because you want to avoid the apron. No. It's a bad contract for a bad player.
You don't want to be above the second apron anyway.
Yeah, you want to get below. Now you have room to make another move if you need to make.
Yeah, you can't. First of all, now they have to match
now,
because they're
by
where
the way,
they
Tari
are.
Eason now after last week when he goes, I guess, bruh, after he signed for $81 million and right before it went out, he just goes, I guess, bruh. And he had a shrug emoji like he wasn't happy about this because he was only going to have $481 million. So he's really upset about
I'd be upset, too.
Upset about that. And then, I mean, look, he bet on himself and he lost. He played poorly at stretches. It is what it is.
I'm sure his agent went out there and saw what the market said, yeah. and no one was like, you know what, we'll give you 20 per year. So he had to settle with whatever the Rockets.
You're a guy who's had a lot of injuries, and you were wildly inconsistent this year. And so you got $81 million fully guaranteed. So be, you know, that's.
I guess, bruh.
And then yesterday he's like, we're back. And so, like, there was some Instagram post where basically none of the fans were buying it. They're like, yeah, you're. The PR department told you to cut the bleep is what they did. Or your mom told you to stop acting
Tari's contract is movable.
Uh-huh.
That's someone, if he performs to a level where he's deemed valuable by another team, that's a contract that gets moved.
That's a team-friendly deal.
Yes, and if a team comes calling, that's a deal they can accept pretty easily, particularly if he performs well. So I would put it, the odds of Tari fulfilling his contract as a Rocket, low.
Mm-hmm.
I don't foresee. Now, look, it's 4 years plus a player option, I think, so that's a long time in the NBA. I don't think he finishes that deal as a Rocket. I would be surprised if he gets to year three.
I don't know, as long as he's, you know, if he is, that's a very team-friendly deal. So
that's fine, but if the Rockets, for a couple things, the Rockets appear to be a team who wants to be aggressive but doesn't really want to put it out there that they're aggressive. They're looking to add. That's a deal that
this
gets
is a great. It's
that,
a great deal
that gets thrown into a superstar type
absolutely
deal.
Because it's enough money that can it can, and he's a player that people will want. So he's a commodity you want, and it's a contract that can help you get to a number, but it's also not a bad contract for a team to take on. This is an extremely movable contract. Yeah.
Well, hopefully they get a much older player for him.
Well, that seems to be their goal.
Yeah, hopefully find somebody 33 or 34,
but who will tweet how happy they are to be a Rocket as opposed to, I guess I'll play here.
I guess, bruh.
No
I
other
guess,
option. Bruh. The other options were worse, so I'll stay.
I guess, bruh.
No one seemed more excited to be back with the Rockets than Tari Eason. But like I said, he had an Instagram post that said,
no one believes
run
that.
It back or something no like
one,
that.
Yeah, your initial reaction is the one everyone's going to buy.
Sorry. Is no matter how cryptic, there's nothing better than athletes' cryptic tweets.
So we
no one does it better than athletes.
We haven't heard anything about Fred and scrubbing his Rockets, scrubbing all of his social media, right?
No. I would guess if Fred doesn't get traded, he'll unarchive all that stuff, and all that Rocket stuff will show back up. You can just archive everything, and then if things go the way you think they're going, then you don't have to bring them back. But, if Fred's still here in September, he can unarchive all that Rocket stuff and bring it back onto the Instagram.
Well, what about all the Kevin Durant stuff this weekend?
Well, that's – if you believe Brett's – there are levels to the NBA insider stuff.
Yeah.
There's Mark Stein, who will report but normally doesn't break any news. His partner, Jake Fisher, in that same regard. Shams is the guy you go to break news. Sometime Chris Haynes gets some stuff. Brett Siegel's on the lower level where there are always questions about – if he's saying what he's saying is true. I believe he is the one being attributed with, Detroit's really interested in Kevin Durant. And if the Rockets are willing to trade him, that's something that could get done. Kevin Durant has an affinity for Kate Cunningham, however the report went.
And there were there was a three-team deal with the Rockets getting Jalen Brown and Kevin Durant going to Detroit.
And the Rockets turned – it would have been Kevin Durant out, Alperen Şengün out, and Kate and Jalen Brown here. And the Rockets were the team who said no.
What stupid move would that be?
Well,
I mean, dude was worth Jalen Brown went to Philly for nothing. I mean, not nothing, but holy cow, you're giving up Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün, and you're only getting Jalen Brown in return. I mean, then I would say you suck, Rafael. I don't know why. I wonder why people are so down on him. I think he's done a hell of a job with draft.
How long?
Bootlicker.
Since they've won a playoff series. And I think that's a lot of it. It's been since he's taken over.
They can call me bootlicker.
I'm not going to call you that, John. That's insulting.
It is insult.
But
no.
You insulted him a little bit
Got a little out of
Since Rafael Stone has taken over, he got a lot of credit, and rightfully so, for hitting on, well, we thought hitting on Tari. That hasn't progressed. But hitting on Alpi, the picks he's made, those guys, you traded Jalen Green if you want to call it a miss, but it helped you get Kevin Durant, whatever.
I'm in 52 games a year.
But now that expectations have risen, you've had two disappointing playoff series.
Yeah, but you can't. Nobody gets by Golden State or the Lakers. Nobody.
Of the two teams you lost to in their next series, they combined to win one game.
Combined?
Yeah.
Okay. We got a break. 713-780-3776.
I just want better vibes for the team. I hate saying vibes with the Rockets because it reminds me of KPJ, the nightmare, but with that Rocket team. But, I mean, I just need there to be better – I don't know a better word for it. Attitudes, just a better feeling around the team.
How about chemistry?
No drama.
Chemistry?
Yeah, it really is chemistry. I mean, when it gets right down to it. I just hope Kevin Durant doesn't say anything and doesn't get his Twitter fingers going again.
Okay. Let's break. 713-780-3776. Come on in.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. It was Jordan night on Saturday. Only two walk-off home runs in his career. And he's the only player to have two walk-off home runs on the 4th of July. And those are his only walk-off home runs of his career in the regular season. He's done it in the postseason. He did it against Seattle. I believe that's the only one. In game one against Seattle when Verlander did not pitch well, they put up a big spot and the Astros came back and he walked it off. What a night, what a day that was. And he's got the two on 4th of July. He was fabulous. He was six RBI, two home runs, six RBIs, 3 for 4. He was incredible. He is the Astros' only All-Star.
Yeah.
Which is surprising.
Yeah. Shocking.
Josh Hader looks like an All-Star, but he was hurt for so long. He's without a doubt one of the best closers in the game. Aroldis Chapman is going. He's on a roll. I'm surprised Dylan Cease, this is his first All-Star appearance. That's his first.
Oh, that is a little bit surprising.
Yeah, Dylan Cease has been good for a while, and yet. I don't know. There were some, but whatever. Paul Skeens making the All-Star team is actually a little bit surprising. He hasn't been good. Yeah. There have been a lot of really, really, really good National League pitchers. Mizurowski has been unbelievable. Christopher Sanchez.
Skeens is starting too, isn't he? I think he got the start. He's 6-8.
Yeah.
With a 3.62.
Is
not
Skeens
typical.
No, he's not starting, is he?
I think. Are you sure?
I don't think he is. No, he hasn't named a starter yet, has he?
I thought I saw where he's starting over. There was an argument about him starting over someone else already.
Mizurowski or Yamamoto should be starting, or Sanchez. Sanchez.
Well, you shouldn't have. No, you wouldn't have to name it this early.
It should be Mizurowski.
Well, it should be.
Yeah. But it's not going to be Skeens, no. Mason Miller has been fantastic. He's a reliever for San Diego.
Yeah, it has to be Mizurowski.
Yeah,
it would I mean, Sanchez has been good, but no, it has to be Mizurowski.
How? Mizurowski.
Provided he's got, you know, the timing. The timing matches up. Is it true? I guess there was a little bit of kerfuffle over the weekend that the Astros are one of the teams mentioned with Tarik Skubal.
Yeah.
That's not. How's that possible?
I don't know. Yeah,
do they
I don't
want?
Believe that.
Okay, it starts with Jake Myers, but who else are they going to want? Bryce Matthews.
Our AAA Cam Jake Myers
Smith.
Guy?
Yeah, Cam Smith. I'm assuming they're going to want Okert. They're going to want Hader and Altuve.
They're going to want everybody.
Yeah, good luck with that. Who in the world? Although the Astros do have four of the top 20 players in the trade deadline deals. I saw that rating yesterday that they have three of the top 13 players that would be considered for a trade deadline that teams would want. And they did a rating of that, and Jeremy Peña was in there, Yordan, and Josh Hader.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, you want Yordan, really? Oh.
And I would think Hunter Brown. Those would be the big four.
I didn't see that coming. Yeah.
Those would be the big four.
Can we throw in anybody else?
I think they have the most players in the top 20, or tied for the most players in the top 20 for trade deadline consideration, but the Astros
aren't buyers. They're not sellers.
The Astros aren't trading anybody. I hope they don't get too goofy with buying, unless it's like if you got Scooble, you cannot make a trade unless you decide you're going to pay him a bunch of money. How are the Astros going to pay money?
Well, we'll pay for other people. We're not paying our own guys.
Well, for 3-year deals.
We will not pay our own guys.
No, you don't pay other players more than 3 years.
No.
Scooble's not taking a 3-year deal.
Oh, yeah, we gave Hader a 5-year deal. What are you talking about?
Well, Scooble ain't taking 5. Yeah, nope. But not for what Scooble's going to make. Although that was a good Hader deal. That was actually outside the market.
19 a year.
Of what they usually do. That's true. Scooble's going to be looking for, let's face it, I mean, he's going to be looking for 250 plus.
That's what we do.
Do we do that, though? We do 250?
How sad is your dad that Jake Meyers got, he was sent to AAA?
He just feels bad for him. I think he just wishes he'd just get put down, his career. Just DFA him and get his career over so he didn't have to suffer anymore.
I was like, wow, Jay, that's a little...
Who ever thought he was going to follow up last year's pseudo-good year?
No.
Nobody?
No, and the Astros outfield is still one of the worst ever in baseball history.
So that's what it was. It was Zach Wheeler got snubbed in place of Paul Skeens. That's what it was. It wasn't Skeens starting. Zach Wheeler got snubbed in place of Paul Skeens. Zach Wheeler has a 2.36 ERA compared to Skeens' 3.62.
Skeens should not be an all-star this year.
No, he should not be an all-star.
No. This is like he just gets in every year for... He should not be an all-star.
It would have been interesting if Eric Geddy hadn't just fallen completely off the planet. It would have been so interesting to see if he would have had a shot.
He absolutely would if he was pitcher of the month. Yeah. But then the next month he was the GOAT of the month.
Yeah, not greatest of all time. Old school GOAT.
Yeah, greatest of all
and
time.
And not turd of the month like Dell called him on his show. That's not an award that they officially give.
Wow.
TOTM.
I never said that.
You kind of did.
No.
I just heard you did.
Well,
from a liar.
We had some static on the line when I was listening on the radio. I might have missed
it. I never called anyone turd of the month. It's something you would say.
It's what I heard.
Not to be honest, turd is not balls. A word my people use.
Turd balls.
No. It's
turd
I've never
is
heard
not
of,
a word my
I've
people
never
use.
Heard a black person say
we
turd.
We don't say turds.
Turds.
Like somebody dropped a turd in my yard.
Black
no
people.
One says that or no. This guy's a real turd.
Yeah, black people don't say that.
You don't say that. That's a real nerd thing.
So you not even nerd, it's just a white. Turds.
The only time I hear it is with guys who are not good, like draft wise,
yeah.
Character wise, I hear a guy's a turd.
Yeah.
But now that I'm thinking about it, I don't hear black people.
Louis Riddick has
that.
Never called someone a turd.
He might have.
Not a chance.
Maybe in company with white guys.
You think he's been
just to speak
indoctrinated?
Like,
well, it depends on who's the podcast. If it's white guys. If it's not, then they're, you know.
Listen to any.
He's got to street it up.
Listen, I don't even know if it's streeted up. It's just we don't say turd.
No,
just listen to any podcast that has black people on it. Turd is not a word. That's
I don't. Used. But to be fair, I don't hear the word turd a lot anyway.
But well, if you do hear it, it's
I
from
hear
someone
it on,
like you.
From 10 to 12.
Not a chance.
TOTM, turd of the month.
Not a
they
chance.
Have a whole song for it, too.
Not a chance.
Chris Goddard up, does he say turds? Probably. He won his third PGA Tour win.
Who is this? He didn't score.
Is that a podcaster?
He never got a goal.
Ben Coles hit it in the water on 18.
These are made up names. Don't listen to him.
I don't believe him.
He's not saying.
I've been lied a lot to today. I don't believe this.
He's not saying real names. Don't listen to him.
He shot a 62 on Sunday, yesterday. Just shot up the leaderboard. And the kid just went, He bogeyed 15, birdied 16, but then didn't birdie 17 and then hit it in the water on 18. So Chris Goddard is the John Deere Classic champion. That's just I just thought you guys should know. I think, Lance, you need to tell everybody about Taqueria Sarandas.
Taqueria Sarandas, that was the spot for, they did not have an official Mexico watch party yesterday, but every match was a Team Mexico and Team USA watch party, or wherever you went. Like, that place is getting packed, and it will continue. Mexico got eliminated. It's going to continue to be the spot to watch, because tons of soccer fans go in. You get to be, and you really need to be watching if you get an opportunity with other people, because the energy level just soars. And all the locations are great to watch that. And I can promise you one thing. If you go, you're going to enjoy authentic Mexican food at very reasonable prices. Delicious. You're going to absolutely love it. And then on top of that, you are going to find that you can get drink specials for beer, for margaritas. This is going to be an opportunity for you to really enjoy the entire day. Now, maybe you say, I don't care about soccer. I'm not watching any of this stuff. Well, then go in for breakfast, go in for lunch, go in for dinner. Get the street tacos. Get the tortas. Have you ever had a torta? The Mexican sandwich? Phenomenal. And they've got a great one over there. I love it for lunch. I have had the breakfast tacos. We've had the bigger, more robust breakfast before. But lunch and dinner is obviously a spot where you can go enjoy the food and, in many cases, catch a game as well. Maybe it's baseball. I just know this. Taqueria Sarandas has over 20 locations in the Houston area. Go to the website. Find one nearest you. Taqueria Sarandas.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, biggest game ever tonight. How many millions? How many millions are you going to watch? I'm going to say it's 50.
I can't talk. I'm watching an Instagram video of a guy named Liam Stapleton, who's hilarious. Hilarious. He's a British guy who does these incredible accents and things like that. And he's doing USA cheers versus English cheers back and forth. I'm going to send you this video. It is phenomenal. I believe we're going to kick a goal with our cleats into the net. That's one of the songs he's singing for U.S.
I believe we're going to what?
We're going to kick a goal. He's got his USA flag on. And he's doing USA supporter and chants versus English chants. Your mom is your dad's sister. Like, we love you. We love you. We love you. We'll follow you wherever you go. He's doing that for USA chant. And then the things that he says for the British chants are just horrific. And they're real, by the way. They really say these things. I'm going to send you this video. We can't play it, I don't think. Well, they say things like shag. We can get away with saying shags.
Jag?
No, shag.
Oh, shag, yeah.
Your dad shagged your mom, stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, that's not
great. We can kind of get along with it. It's not great if we were doing a show in England, but we're not doing a show in England.
Right.
So we can get away with that, I think.
We forgot to ask Glenn about the referee.
We can say bloody hell.
Yeah, we can say bloody hell. We said
we can say nonsense.
Bloody.
Yeah.
Yep. What about those two guys that were fighting, the two Indian guys that were fighting? You're bloody. No, you're bloody.
Yeah, I see that one.
Yeah.
I'm sending you and Dell the video here in your email.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. Maybe we can play it, actually, Dell. I'll let you be the arbiter of whether or not this makes it on.
I think it's going to be, well, if it's going to root on our team, I think we should do you guys think we should maybe do Pump It Up? I don't know. If we don't and they don't win,
well,
then that's on us.
They won, and we didn't do it the last
time.
So
Dell played All Systems Go, and the Astros have been winning series ever since.
But the Astros were losing beforehand.
This team, when
they play their top 11, don't lose.
But they've never gotten this far. They've never advanced beyond this stage.
That's not true.
They've never advanced to eight.
I just talked about they were playing in the quarterfinal in 2002, and they would have been in the semifinal, but they lost to Germany.
They were in the eight then.
Yeah, they beat Mexico. That's where Dulce Acero became really famous. They beat Mexico in the round of 16, 2-0, and then played Germany and got screwed over where a German used his hand to keep a ball from going into the goal, but they don't call a handball.
They're called goalkeepers.
No, it was a field infield player. That's the problem. I know the game. Thank you. Okay. And instead, no VAR existed, so Germany just got away with it, and they eventually won nothing. So we have been – that's why I mentioned it with Glenn. We have been in a quarterfinal before, but as I pointed out, it was in South Korea, Japan, so not a lot of people
Nobody watched it. Nobody saw it. Did you see England – it was 5 in the morning there when they won.
Yeah. I thought I saw 4.
Well, I saw them get up. Yeah, I thought it was 4, but either way, they were up and watching.
They stayed up.
Parties.
Well, no, it was an hour. Yeah, right. Okay, it was 4 in the morning,
and
it was crazy.
I asked my guy in England, I said, did you stay? You stayed up for it, didn't you? He goes, of course, everybody did.
Everybody.
I mean, that is bananas that you're watching, and all of their night matches are going to have to be, you're just staying up. Would you be able to do that?
I did it when I was in – I used to watch NFL playoff games when I was in Barcelona for that year.
Oh, did you? And what
time? There were bars that were open, and they had NFL football games on.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's back in the day, and they still had
– yeah, like throughout the whole night.
And they were still open throughout the whole night, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
I wonder if – oh, no, yeah. I went and saw the England match over at the Phoenix because I wanted to experience all the English fans there. Woo-wee! When they won against Congo, man, was there some tense moments in that place. Holy crap. I mean, that's why I think Alonzo reached out. I think we're going to go try to hit your boys' spot up today, Johnny.
You go where? Oh, you are?
Oh, some people say it's a dive bar.
Oh,
it's
go.
Not a dive bar.
Yeah, go see Nick. Go see Nick. That's awesome.
Because we watched U.S. match there. We've watched them previously there.
Go see Nick. Hey, guys. You gonna come watch the game?
Look who it is.
He'll give us a little sun. So I gotta get Nick's number from you so we can reach out.
Do you need Nick's number?
Yeah, I gotta see if he can save a table for us. My son, who only watches Telemundo for some reason, I think Alec is gonna go with us too. So we gotta get a little. Got to get a little table. Shout out to Alonzo's son, AJ, who got married, by the way.
Somebody said, Mexico City was, your kid told you Mexico City was like 50,000 feet higher than Denver.
Yeah, it was.
That Paul Skeens was starting the All-Star game.
No, that one was.
That Brianna Tart.
No.
Okay.
No.
You're bringing a lot of stuff a lot of lies to the show today.
No, the Brianna Tart is related more than likely to Erling Haaland. My son said it's 10 times higher. I said, are you sure 10 times higher than Mile High Stadium?
It's just a family full of misinformation.
Yeah.
You, them, everybody.
Ball sack is there what pops up as soon as they open their phone.
Have you said anything factual today? Why did you come in just wanting to lie or just be wrong on things?
I mean, some things I've said, and then some things are my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Some things are
those wrong?
And some things I'm just passing along.
So it's your opinion that Erling Haaland's related to the woman who played Brianna Tart.
I got a text.
It's your opinion that it's 10 times higher than Denver.
No, Alex said that, and I thought it sounded a little off, and then I looked like, it's 2,500 feet. Now, to be fair, Mile High is 5,000 feet above sea level. Azteca Stadium's 2,500 feet higher than that. That's pretty significant. That's a pretty significant jump. It's not 50,000.
No,
Alec.
It's not.
Alec literally said it's 50,000 feet above. Cruising altitude is 30,000 feet. Wait. This is high. Planes could crash into Azteca Stadium. That doesn't seem right.
I think he might have misread a graphic that they put up there about
100%
about elevation. And you want to
7,350.
Yeah, you want to tell people how old your son is?
He's 21, getting ready to be 22. Yeah, he turns 22 tomorrow.
Doesn't speak highly of Alabama's education.
No, it really doesn't.
Maybe,
but to be fair,
maybe too much football.
Yeah, he's
not enough reading.
Not enough.
Too much scouting. Not enough reading.
Certainly not enough weather.
It's only 2,100
atmospheric stuff.
It's only 2,100 feet higher.
Yeah, but it's 5,000. That's almost 50% higher, John.
It's not. That's pretty substantial. 40%.
I know. That's pretty substantial.
Well, 40% is not 10 times.
No, obviously, I already told you he's way off on that. I read what the numbers were. 40% higher. That is actually a lot higher than Mile High Stadium. I mean, that is the, like I said, the altitude probably is a heckler, although you wouldn't know it from watching England play. They were hanging on.
Did you hear Harry Kane after?
Oh, he couldn't talk at all.
He couldn't talk.
The voice was complete. I heard him before the match, and then I heard him after the match. He must have been screaming from the sidelines when they took him out the entire time. Must have been screaming the entire time. When they took him out, did either one of you think all their goal scorers are off? If Mexico equalizes, they are screwed.
Well, they weren't going to.
Except Jude Bellingham.
They weren't going to score in extra time. They were going to have to survive till penalties.
How big a deal was it when Raul Jimenez rolled his ankle and they had to play 10-on-10 the last 2 minutes? I mean, their best goal scorer is laying on that. They had to drag him off the field, and they couldn't sub anyone in. And they just had to drag him off the field while everything was going on.
He was on the touchline for the final couple stretches of the match.
Well, the rest of it.
And instead of having the advantage, it was 10-on-10. And frankly, Mexico ran out of ideas, because at some point when England's got guys who are towering over your attackers, maybe stop crossing the ball.
Let me see if we get some headers in here on them.
They just brought in a 6'6 guy or 6'7 guy.
With our 5'8 guy.
And this isn't even about, the Mexican players are just short. Stereotypically, their guys were just frankly shorter than the defenders that the English brought on. The 6'7 guy just won every duel, won every header. Stop sending in crosses. You've done it for the last 25
minutes. Owen Hargreaves,
it was not working.
But how about, did you guys notice? So Darren Fletcher and Owen Hargreaves called that. And Owen Hargreaves was what, big Man U,
I guess? He's former English international. He played for them in a World Cup as well.
He wasn't even, if we can just hold on for 5 more minutes, lads.
That's what it becomes.
Like, it was just, you
objectivity goes out the window.
Oh,
forget about it.
You got Telemundo.
That guy played for this team.
Well, Telemundo's not objective, but I'm sure Owen Hargreaves was thinking, they can watch on Telemundo.
He played for the team. What's he going to do? What else are you going to get?
You can't. We expect our England. We expect our U.S. broadcasters to be objective. I do.
No, I want them to be the players.
Stu
Holden is not.
No, objective. No. Not in soccer. In NBA or NFL. Well, in national broadcast, NFL national broadcast, I expect them to show some objectivity, and they're usually really good at it. They're usually really good.
Yeah.
They don't even, it just goes out the door. And everyone in there, you know, you've got Thierry Henry when France plays, Zlatan when Sweden plays, Chicharito. What are you going to do? Not cheer for your country?
Right.
Like, you have to.
Joe Buck hates the Astros, though, remember?
He lets you know.
He always hates us.
But it's even different. We're talking about teams as opposed to countries. Like, there's nothing that compares, but I guess if, I don't know who would be on the call, if John Stockton was calling a U.S. Gold medal game, I expect objectivity from John Stockton?
Hell's no.
Not particularly, no. I mean, it's just different. It's not going to be this. It's not going to be what we expect here, and I'm fine with it. Owen Hargreaves, if you're watching the Three Lions out there, the badge and everything that you played for, and they're suffering to get through Mexico, I don't expect you. Don't lie to me. Like, if Mexico wins, I'll be fine.
Well,
no,
Telemundo's going to be, guess what they're doing?
Yeah, they have. I didn't watch that broadcast this time, but they will either have an ex-Mexican player on the call as an analyst, or just as a person as part of their three-person team when they're talking about the game at halftime. What do you expect?
Right. And before the game, if you watch the pregame at all, they had one former Mexican player and one former English player on there. And then that big dude, I don't know where he played. But
Peter Schmeichel, or whatever.
He's Danish, I believe.
Yeah, something like Danish. And then they had to pull – it was a long rain delay. They had a 1 hour, so they had to pull Owen Hargreaves out of the booth. Like, come down here and add some England context. They were – man, they're talking. I'll say this. I don't love Zlatan on the broadcast, but he's getting a little bit better. Like, things he says aren't terrible, but that dude, he and Thierry Henry and the blonde, they are...
Rebecca Lowe,
they are putting some hours in, man. They are there for all freaking day.
Yep. All right, we got a break. If you need energy, okay, like they need, you got Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. Get your electricity to your home at a better price. We love Champion Energy. We've been with Champion Energy forever. We have saved more. I mean, tens and I don't know how much at the radio station. I know I saved when I had them in my house tens of thousands of dollars, literally over a 17, 18-year a period. I know I saved tens of thousands of dollars because went from 1 month when I was with somebody and the next month I get with Champion, it was like an unbelievable reduction. So I don't know what you're paying for your electricity, but if you get your bill and you go, what in the bleep is this? Okay. Then you look at all the fees on there. Holy crap. Go with Champion. I'm telling you, I love them. Their service is second to none. It's just all, it's so professional. And yet you are going to save money at champion.energy/1560, champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.